Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury, and this ASI cast is the first of three that were recorded at this year's International Television and Video Conference in Budapest. Moderated by ASI's Research Director Richard Marks, the panel discussed the possibility of pooling data for the greater good of the industry as a whole, in a debate which considers whose data is it anyway.
For this final session, we wanted to get various parts of the media measurement ecosystem together on stage. So today we've got representatives from the JIT currencies, broadcasters, platforms with return path data, and the world's biggest social media platform to discuss the future of audience measurement. So is data a resource that should be shared for the benefit of the market and advertisers as a whole, or is it a commercial weapon to be jealously guarded to keep your company ahead? If the future is hybrid measurement, as it seems that nearly everyone at the conference seems to be agreeing, where will that data come from, and whose data is it anyway? So the participants are, and I'm not going to read out their CVs in full, via the app you can enjoy reading in detail what people's hobbies are and also at what point they inevitably worked for a Martin Sorrell company. But I'm just going to go with their job titles here. So the participants are, and I probably I should do it in the order they're sitting for people at the back. So we have Justin Sampson, who's CEO of Barb in the UK. Andrea Mezzasalma, head of audience research and insights at Sky Italia, who runs an RPD service, but is also on the board of Auditel. We have Bernard Engel, who's research director of ZDF and also on the board of AGF. Then we have Alex North, who is, just reading my thing in the right order, head of marketing science, research and development, EMEA and Europe at Facebook. We have Jane Clark, CEO and MD of SIM and the Coalition for Innovation in Media Measurement in the States. And then lastly, we have Antonio Cavaglio, who is Vice President, Programming Research and Insight at Liberty Global. So I'm going to sit in the middle just to make sure that I don't bias in any particular direction by being too far away from anyone. And we're going to kick off. We've got a number of themes we wanted to talk about, and then we will open things out to the audience in about the last third of the session. So what I wanted to kick off with is, do we actually need one single currency for video? I thought we'd start with the most existential question, because industry currencies were driven by a desire for a common currency and a single agreed figure, but also by a much more pragmatic need to share the cost of hugely expensive people meter systems. So in a connected world, why not just have each company trade on its own in-house data audited by a third party? Are we actually agreed on the panel on the need for one single transparent currency for video? And somewhat inevitably, I'm going to ask that question firstly to kick off to Justin at Barb.
Thank you, Richard. Actually, I'd like to start by talking about orange juice. Sure that the UK isn't the only country in the world where when you go into supermarkets, rather helpfully, the supermarkets put next to the price of the orange juice what the price per 100 millilitres is, so that you can start to assess the difference in cost for packaging, which might be 2 litres versus 1 litre. And for shoppers, I think this is very useful input as they decide whether to buy a Tropicana or whether to buy own label instead. And it's not a case of cheapest always winning, because some shoppers might think, well, Tropicana keeps my kids happier, but they can immediately see the amount they'll have to pay extra to get that value, and they can make a judgment call. And so it is with judging the value of different advertising opportunities. And advertisers need to understand what people are exposed to. They need to understand how this works alongside other data sources so that they can calculate the effectiveness of their marketing investment. And they need to do this in a way that they truly understand relative value. If you're working with one data source which is saying that we're judging the audience to a piece of televisual content based on an average duration audience, how can you possibly compare the relative value of that to another piece of video where you're being told it's been watched for at least 3 seconds? So not far from here is the great market hall. And I would say that if if we don't have a single trading currency, it's like going down to the great market hall and going to one stall and finding that they're selling you metric weights in euros and the next stall is selling you imperial weights in florins. For the buyers, this is just intolerable. Now, advertisers naturally carry significant weight in this argument, but clearly there are other investment decisions being made off the back of this data. We heard yesterday morning Alan Wurzel expressing his frustration that he can't put data together. Sue Gray talked this morning as well about this and also brought to life just how much additional rigor the BBC bring to online data to turn it into a data which they think is meaningful. Now, I would say this, wouldn't I? But being owned by the industry means that Barb represents the collective values of the industry. The collective values of the industry are baked into the data that we put together for the industry. Barb isn't a joint industry committee. We're a joint industry currency. That's how we refer to ourselves in the UK. And to criticise Barb is to criticise the industry that owns it. To turn a deaf ear to the standards that we've put in place on behalf of the industry is to turn a deaf ear to the industry that you potentially want to be part of. And we're very open to any conversation with anybody who's not fully involved in Barb as a subscriber about how we might work together. And Nick yesterday outlined some of the thoughts that Facebook has for potentially partnering with joint industry currencies. I'd simply say there are two prerequisites that need to be addressed before that conversation can be taken to a full conclusion. And those two prerequisites are standard industry metrics based on average duration audience and independent validation of the data. The strength of any currency comes from the trust that people put in it. And I have to say, I don't think Tom Tomasi is the only person who's asking the question, how do we trust Facebook? So that's what I'd put out there as a few opening thoughts. And maybe I'd just finish with one final observation, which is imagine how happy the TV industry might be if they were allowed to quote the billions and billions and billions of views of at least 3 seconds.
Well, you can probably guess where I'm going next. So, Alex, first, obviously the first question about a common currency, but also, can we trust Facebook? Is just in...
I can answer the second one first.
I thought you might.
Yeah, you can. I mean, as Nick said yesterday, the issue with the video metric a few weeks back was obviously a mistake that was rectified very quickly. We hold our hands up to it, absolutely. Like that, we're not going to rank the importance of the metrics. Anything that we get wrong has to be fixed, and we have to be transparent about it. That's absolutely the same thing as whether it's industry currency or whether it's a media owner or a platform such as ourselves. I think in terms of the measurement and the currency measurement, I agree there needs to be one standard of measurement of that caters for the needs of advertisers and agencies. I would say this because of where I work, I think this needs to be video and non-video from a personal perspective. Because if you think about where an agency might want to place inventory, and they're the ones who we should be asking here, what do you need in terms of a currency? Is it just video? Is it video and non-video? Because Facebook has both video and static content. We have a range of different advertising products. You can have Cinemagraphs, which is a static ad with one element that moves, just your hand. Is that video? We have canvas ads where you click on the ad and you can be immersed in a wide-ranging experience, part video, part static. But as a platform, Facebook is an area where you can use it in a number of different ways. And so we're asked by clients, okay, how can we use your platform? We've done studies that show the value of using static and video, for example. And so I don't think it should be just linked to video. As a measure, obviously there might be disagreements in the room, and if you're a broadcaster, you might favour that as a measure. But I think as the Facebook perspective would be, if we are to be truly measured, it would have to be the entirety of our content. Otherwise, you're just saying, well, measure a slice of Facebook based on the video content, knowing that one of the nuances of the service is that you could be looking at your newsfeed today and you could see a static ad. Tomorrow, you could see a video ad. So it is not a predictable delivery mechanism, and it needs to be thought of in a slightly different light. I mean, just in reference, we're more than happy to have open discussions, but I think it needs to be with a collaborative spirit and with an understanding that there are challenges that we face and requirements that are on our side in terms of A, the use of our data, and B, the measurement of our platform. And so we're coming at it from we'd like to have the entirety of Facebook measured and in the hands of agencies and advertisers so they can make choices across the different platforms. I can carry on, but...
So you're kind of, effectively, you're turning my question on its head and saying, why stop at video?
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting, watching the presentations after lunch, it did occur to me that as those TAM services are increasingly on every platform, surely it's not that much of a leap to them to also be measuring at the internet generally, and also, maybe controversial, what is the point of an internet JIC, soulless internet JIC, which we have in many countries, if it seems to me that video measurement may be in prime position to measure it at the same time. I don't, Andrea, do you want to comment on that? Or?
Yeah, it's a difficult call. We really don't know. The point is, video is video, and it's very different from anything else. If you read something, if you see a picture, it's very different from watching a video. The level of involvement is completely different. Honestly, when I see the combined reach of different media, I'm always a bit skeptical. How can you combine a video with a read advertisement or with an audio advertisement? So I think that having a combination, you know, a unique currency for video would be already a nice challenge. If we can add to it something more, why not? Yes, sure. But having at least a unique currency of video across television and the web would be already something nice for the market.
We need to get that done first.
Yes. Well, I'm not saying that it cannot be done at the same time, but I mean the main goal should be to have a measurement of video that is consistent between television and the web, mobile, OTT, etc. This is my view.
Obviously, this is bang on Sim's mission, I guess, in terms of what you're trying to do.
Both buyers and sellers are part of Sim. I'll tell you a funny story that when Google joined Sim, and it had primarily been the networks before, I'm like, well, come and talk to the next meeting and, you know, tell us what's on your mind. And they came in and all they wanted to talk about was the value of proprietary measurement. And they wanted to like convince everyone in the room, and these were like the researchers at the agencies and at the networks, the value of proprietary measurement, that they can measure their their YouTube and all their other experiences better than a third party measurement company, so why shouldn't everyone do that? And they everyone looked at them like they were from outer space, basically. You know, these are people that have lived by third-party standardized measurement for years, and it's a common currency. And so I think there's a bunch of issues here that are all intertwined. One is that there is reach that advertisers use, which they look at across all platforms, you know, even print and everything. But then there's sort of ratings and duration-based measurements. And I think there's also something else we're starting to see as you look more at the effectiveness measurement across all these different platforms. Long-form video or multi-platform TV, as some people are starting to call it. You know, some broadcasters in the US would like to divide out multi-platform TV. So anything, I guess, that's 30 minutes or longer versus short form video, and that they're seeing evidence from an advertiser point of view that the ad experience is very different between those two. And so you can, you know, there you go, dividing it again. You can have a short form video, duration-based currency. You can have a long form video, duration-based currency. So, I also think the problem is we don't have standards. You know, we don't, if you wanted everybody to just use their own data and produce it against a standard, well, that might work, but we don't have standards yet. I mean, look at how long it's taken the MRC in the US, which is really one of the only groups sort of trying to write those kinds of standards. They're trying to write a cross-media audience-based measurement standard, and they first had to do the digital audience-based measurement standard and deal with this issue of duration. And they've been working on it for 2 years. So
it's not an easy thing to agree a standard in desktop and in the mobile space as well. I mean, I think that we completely agree that standards are necessary for the industry to move forward, so you can get to a measure of agreed opportunity to see, reach, where value can start. I guess I'm not challenging the fact that a 3-second view online is going to be different from a 30-second view of a TV ad. They are not the same thing. There are debates that can go on forever about the value of that exposure. That has historically been an independent measure, though, outside of JIC, an industry currency measure, the equivalency of different media. So even before digital, what's the value of outdoor cinema, radio, TV? Yeah. If I've got one person reached on radio, one person reached on TV, are they the same thing? We're sort of dealing with the same thing here, but at the root of it should be an opportunity to see measure. If you've got the granularity of absolute reach, duration, frequency, things like that, they are the core measures that can be compared across platforms based on the data that's available, but you also need that measure of effectiveness that has, as I say, historically, been outside of the JIC remit to understand that equivalency so clients can say, okay, I've got one person here on TV, one person on Facebook. What's the value? Where's the choice there? Where's their incrementality? Where's their crossover? But that value measurement is different to the currency measurement, in my eyes.
What's the minimum qualifier? Because one of the things that's holding up the MRC, they're trying to write the standard. They get 100 people on the phone, and there's people who have 6-second ads, 15-second ads, 30-second ads. There's so many different lengths of ads. What's your minimum qualifier before you start counting? Once you pass viewability, when do you start counting duration?
Yeah, I just want to bring Antonio into it, because you're in an interesting position, because your Liberty Global, at least in the UK, is a platform. You don't have advertising, but I mean, you are an advertiser.
Yeah.
But from your perspective as a platform that isn't buying and selling advertising, how do you interact with industry research? What would it need to be doing for you?
I think there's three areas. I think, first of all, I think you're right that different platforms have different goals, and there's platforms where a significant amount of their revenue is from advertising. I think Liberty Global, we do have some channels and broadcasters, but really advertising is not our main revenue driver. I think the second element is that we will definitely, and are doing so, build our own data platform to drive a lot of our internal business objectives in terms of what we need to do with data, run our business better, and so on. And that's not building a walled garden, that's leveraging, I guess, the data that we have access to make sure that we can run our business better. And I think from an external perspective, I think we are open in terms of collaboration where it makes sense. We are certainly not closed. There's potentially a lot of discussion about shall we even do anything externally, because, you know, from a content perspective or so on, could actually play against us in terms of some of our content negotiations, for example. But we are certainly open to have those discussions. We have absolutely no issues in participating in the currencies where it makes sense, and sometimes can be just as part, you know, to help the market. Sometimes we have also goals in terms of data monetization externally in addressable advertising. So there's some commercial aspects that we need to think about. But as a principle, we are open to work with the industry where it makes sense.
And Bernhard, you've got an interesting perspective because you are a broadcaster who represents your company on a JIC. So from your perspective, what are you looking for with both hats as a broadcaster? Is the JIC you are on delivering everything you want, or is it?
Yes, I think it is very easy since my channel is TV only, and therefore it's clear what the JIC should do. But nevertheless, it becomes also as a broadcaster difficult. For example, if you take virtual reality or something like that, where we also make experiments that you can make, have only in the internet space, but not on a normal TV or something like that. But nevertheless, I think it must never be 100% that is covered.
Mm.
It's enough if you have 90%, and 90%, I completely agree with you, you can say video, you have a common understanding what a video is. And we have also a common understanding that video has something to do with time spending. And if we start with this point, we have a common agreement, and then we can step forward. And then we can also say we have to make special indicators specific to, let's say, advertising, that we say at least seven seconds, or let's say for content we say at least 1 minute or something like that. Mm. If you have the watch time as a first step, you can derive everything, all other things. But if you do not have the watch time, everything is not clear.
Mm. Yeah. What are your thoughts on where those standards should start then? Because I guess my perspective would be, if there's solid research that shows that this is the point at where which value starts, that should be the standard. So like very robust research that says, okay, at 2 seconds, on average, this is where value starts. But the thing is, it's going to vary by demographic. It's going to vary by
I think if you have average rating, there is not a need to make a threshold, since 1 second has no value overall, depending on the ratings. Mm. For example, if you take all, let's say, viewing patterns, 1 to 3 seconds, it's a large number of viewing patterns, but on the average rating, it is less than 1%. Mm. So why make a threshold? And for example, if you take the case that you have short advertising, or if you have something like station IDs, then you see that depending on the length of the video, it becomes difficult to make a common standard for a threshold when the value of a video watching starts.
And some systems can't even technically start at 1 or 2 seconds. Yeah, but most of the TAM systems can't really pick up until 15, maybe?
Yeah, I think for sure there is a technical problem, but I think the first thing we have to define is when do we think the user experience starts? Mm. And this starts when he sees a video. This is completely clear. And then we have a technical proxy where we say, if you click, you need on average 2 seconds from black to a video. And then we say, this is the reason why we say after 2 seconds, we start with counting watching a video. But it has nothing to do that we say the user experience starts with 2 seconds, in the sense that we say a user cannot recognize a picture in 2 seconds. It's just a technical problem that we say he cannot see a video or a picture, and therefore we do not count it. But I would say we should not make a threshold. We do not have it in television. I know that we have it for streaming, so we have the 2 seconds, but the 2 seconds are really technical, since we think 2 seconds is black screen, and then the video starts.
Yeah, we have minimum qualifying time for television in the US.